This is Cameron Marceau with Black Liquor Project, doing another Monster in a Glass podcast episode. We're doing the Filmograph cocktail. I'm sitting here with Jason Cruz, who likes to tell stories about cocktails. He finds out all the cool info, and then I sit down and we talk about the culture and history of the cocktail. So, the Filmograph. When I saw this, I was kind of like, ooh, I bet there's a cool story here.
Right. I mean, it sounds like... I don't know. I assumed it had something to do with Hollywood, and based on the information Haig provides, sounds like it has something to do with Hollywood. But as far as I could tell, this name drink was just named because whatever. Name it the Filmograph.
Yeah.
Name it the Tutti Frutti. It doesn't really matter. I kept looking at the ingredients and going, what's in this again? Maybe the ingredients.
What's the date on it?
The earliest recipe I could find was 1934 in Patrick Gavin Duffy.
Was that the height of Hollywood?
Probably, yeah, the late 20s, early 30s. I don't know enough about the history of Hollywood, but my thing by the early 20s, you started having talkies.
Okay, yeah.
But maybe it was earlier than that.
And that was amazing.
Yeah, so you had started having movie stars, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
and people were riveted.
Celebrities, yeah. So I kept thinking, like, what the hell is this? It's, you know, brandy, lemon syrup, and cola tonic. And I thought, this is something in there that...
Just koala tonic?
Koala tonic, yeah. It's made out of...
Koalas. Made out of bears. It's cute little Australian bears.
Marsupials. They're marsupials.
Oh, yeah, they're not bears. They're bears with pockets. They can have spare change.
Pocket bears.
Pocket bears.
Something in it. I mean, cola tonic. I'll talk about what that is. But there was nothing really that indicated what this was, or you know, none of the ingredients gave a hint as to why it's called a Filmograph. Haig says the Filmograph was the name of a company that made moving picture equipment during the silent era. I couldn't verify that, but I don't doubt.
Why the hell not?
Why not? I'm sure. And most specifically relating to early cartoon animation. Sure. I mean, it could have been. They had, like, the cinematograph and the kinetoscope. It sounded like a name. It also was the name of a variety, like, film biz newspaper around the same time. He's actually right about that. But it was called the Hollywood Filmograph. And it was a trade publication, a weekly trade publication in the 1920s and 1930s. There didn't seem to be too much about it. I couldn't find any publication information. I couldn't find anything that it morphed into. It just seemed to be there.
Googling Filmograph just sucks because...
Oh, no, you get Filmography.
Yeah, Filmography, and that's IMDb. Mm-hmm. That's what IMDb, it's a Filmography.
And Filmography is a much later term.
So you put any name with Filmograph and you just get the actor's filmography. Every name has an actor associated with that name somewhere.
I know, and if you even try to put in cocktails, you get the Filmograph cocktail, which everybody points to this book, and then you get things that are like the Filmography, including the movie Cocktail. And you're like, God damn, this is like... so it was a Hollywood trade publication. There was another one in like the early 70s from London called the Filmograph. Clearly has nothing to do with the drink. I could find things that talked about equipment, but it was, again, so vague. I couldn't even figure out. I was like, what is this equipment that you're describing? To be like, you know, here you go. From the messieurs at Film Limited are bringing out a new machine, the Filmograph. And this is from a British trade publication called The Stage from March 3rd, 1910. It is a new machine. In fact, the machine that is different, in quotation marks. Its novel features are many, amongst them being the take-up, which is under the stand instead of as in the front of ordinary. Like, everything they're describing in here, I'm like, you've not even said what the machine does yet. Like, I don't even know what this machine...
Well, you're just supposed to know that.
Right.
If you're in the biz...
You know what? That's what I realized afterwards. I said, people who are reading this go, oh, this will be great. Be revolutionary. I'm like, I have no idea what this machine does. I could find references to something called the Filmograph in publications like the Manual on Methods of Reproducing Research Materials, a survey made for the Joint Committee on Materials for Research and of the Social Science Research Council, blah, 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 from Ann Arbor, Michigan, 1936. It was basically like film strips. Creating Visuals for TV from 1962 talked about a Filmograph is a motion picture of still pictures. And there are other sources I found that gave that similar definition. All I could figure out was, what it sounded like was that it was either a projector or a camera. Or both.
It was a filmograph.
A filmograph.
That's exactly what it was.
It did sound like there was something related to, that it could have been, that the definitions they were giving sounded like it was related to, like, the kinetoscope, which used still images and to create moving images, basically. You know, so that's about it for the name. There's not really much on it. It doesn't give any indication of why it's called the filmograph. I looked for a long time. By the end of it, I thought, this is Patrick Gavin Duffy. He's publishing his book right after the repeal of Prohibition. It's got a lot of recipes in it. He was just pulling names like, out of thin air. filmograph, that's good. He probably was sitting across from me and said, give me a name. Filmograph? Sure. That will have brandy, cola, tonic, and citron.
Yeah, after Prohibition, he must have been like, I need a book now.
Yeah. You know, well, he was one of the first to, okay. I mean, as far as I can tell, he was one of the first to immediately after Prohibition. And that's because he was, if I remember correctly, he was working during Prohibition, not as a bartender, but as a bartender that served, I mean, he was probably serving alcoholic drinks, but I think he was serving non-alcoholic drinks too. So you do see a lot of his recipes are strange. So the name, whatever. I think it's just something he came up with. The only other place that I could find a similar recipe, I couldn't find any other recipes for this involving these ingredients.
Really?
Cola tonic, it actually shows up here and there in recipe books. Nothing even close, but there was one in 1933, so also the same time period. The Merry Mixer, or Cocktails in Their Ilk, a booklet on mixtures and mulches, fizzes and whizzes. That flows off the tongue, doesn't it?
I feel like I've heard this one before.
Probably. So there is a recipe for cola tonic and Calvados, which is a French apple brandy.
Yeah.
So not too far off. And when you,
that sounds good.
I mean, it's just basically minus the lemon syrup. I mean, they still make cola tonic, but
that would be fun to scare up.
I mean,
I doubt the Brixton has it. Maybe they do. They do have some stuff, but like, I bet I'm gonna have to find.
Yeah, cola tonic.
I'm gonna have to source.
You probably. I don't think it'll be too hard to find. I'm not sure if it'll be exactly the same thing as it was then, which is basically sody pop. That's kind of what I was finding out.
Well, it's from the cola nut, right?
Yeah. This recipe, though, it said, it's extremely effective in the summer house. That was the only note with it. It just gave this half cola tonic, half Calvados.
Extremely effective in the summer house.
I don't know what that means. I can only assume. To me, it means probably it was very refreshing and probably light tasting, something similar to the Bebo when we had it. However, brandy's not really, to me, when I think of brandy, I don't think of
a warmer.
Yeah. Even with a cola, it's kind of a
whiskey and Coke. Yeah.
I guess it could be refreshing. Maybe it's the bubbles. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're saying in the summer house.
Back then, didn't they think bubbles were refreshing?
I guess.
I didn't know. But refreshing. It's just not.
Yeah. But yeah, the cola tonic comes from the cola nut.
Where are cola nuts?
Cola nuts are in Africa.
Only in Africa?
As far as I could tell, that's where they're grown. And that's originally where they came. And so the cola trade, as I'm quoting, has a long history. Portuguese explorers encountered the trade between Senegambia and Upper Niger in the 16th century. So it's been growing there probably forever.
Yeah.
And then it started to be supplied to Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Gold Coast. And then it reached England, then France and Germany in the 1860s. And then the United States in the 1870s, it looks like.
Okay.
Or also late 1860s.
Just enough time for the Coca-Cola people to...
That's true. And it says in the 1870s, cola was mixed with sugar and vanilla as a tonic for invalids in Europe. Well, because why not? And in 1886, John S. Pemberton, an Atlanta druggist, invented Coca-Cola using coca and cola extracts. It was also used as a caffeine base in some pharmaceutical products in Europe and the United States.
Wait, so cola has caffeine?
That's,
the cola nuts?
Yes. That's what I'm guessing from it, that it has caffeine, and that's why...
That's coca, why it helps invalids.
It makes them get up?
They seem peppier.
Mm. They stop bumming people out, is that right? Is it? That's kind of how they treated it. It's like,
there's something different about you.
Yeah. Quit bumming me
out. Did you have cola today?
Yeah. If they weren't shoving them in homes, they were giving them cola nuts to not be such a downer.
Yeah. You should just walk.
Yeah. Just get up. Here's some cocaine and some caffeine. So yeah, the Cholinet is also a minor, is mild stimulant. If it has a hunger suppressant, it's an antidote for certain diseases. This is according to Chinua Achebe, who observed that.
Who is this?
Chinua Achebe. He was the famous African writer.
Oh, okay.
He died not too long ago. Things Fall Apart was his famous novel.
Oh, okay.
He who brings cola brings life. The cola nut also served as a mild stimulant, a hunger suppressant, an antidote for certain diseases, a gift to royalty, a present to friends, acquaintances, and in-laws, and even as part of a bride's dowry. Cola also featured prominently in child naming and funerary rites. Token of peace or war, distinctive dye for decorating cloth, means of sustenance for families and communities that sold the nuts. It was chewed fresh or eaten as dry powder as a remedy for dysentery and intestinal disorder. So you can see, it also reputed to have aphrodisiac, because everything did. Does, yeah. And also may cure impotency. So there's 1,000 ways that they can use. It's just caffeine, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, caffeine makes you feel all these things.
And yes, so it was used in the production of Coca-Cola. You start to see the soda pops show up at soda fountains, and they're using cola tonic. I mean, it's basically the precursor to pop. It's interesting that it starts showing up, but not surprising, right after Prohibition.
So this drink is kind of like a whiskey and Coke with lemon.
Yeah, which I hate when people do. I've had that happen. If I order a whiskey and Coke, people throw a lemon or a lime somewhere.
Really?
Yeah,
horrifying.
I never figured that out. Now, rum and Coke, I get. The first time it happened, I was like, no, I said whiskey and Coke. They said, yeah, that's what it is. You threw a lemon in. That doesn't bastard. Go in a whiskey and Coke. Then there is no garnish. There's just so
at most a straw.
Yeah, I know. And that I could do without as well. Yeah. There's not too much to this one. It's
okay.
Doesn't show up very many places, which makes me think that it is probably a one-off. Something that Duffy came up with because he had been serving sodas or tonics. And
he's like,
lots of fruit.
Now we can make them boozy. Mm-hmm. We can add booze to them now.
Throw some brandy in it.
We're all set. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course, we're just talking out our ass about what we think, but, you know.
I like to think I'm channeling Patrick Gavin Duffy and his thoughts.
You're...
Well, it is interesting that
he's got a man
whiskey.
Crush on
I do. I love him. I love his recipe book. It's very no-nonsense. It's just a recipe, but he's also an interesting guy. He was very a bartender's bartender. He was big on you don't talk to the patrons.
Are there any pictures of him?
I don't think so. Not that I remember, but if there were, it was probably a generic picture of a bartender with slicked down hair, a handlebar mustache, and a white apron. You know, it's,
okay.
So,
well, cool. I think that's the info that we got, so thank you for that. And I guess we're going to take it to the Brixton for some tasting.
The Filmograph Cocktail. 2 ounces Christian Brothers Brandy. 3/4 ounce lemon juice. 1/2 ounce cola tonic.
We're at the Brixton in Andersonville, in Chicago. We're going to taste the Filmograph now. Because that's what it's all about.
That's right.
No, we talk about it too, which is, you know, some people think that's lame. Some people just want to drink them. But I think it's fascinating to talk about them. So joining me today is on the tasting team is, to my left, Bethany Lang.
Hello.
And what is your favorite old-timey machine?
I really like old roller skates. Like the ones that had the flat bed with the wheels right under them.
The ones with like the all shoe. Metal wheels.
Yeah.
That get all scratched.
Yeah.
Oh, and they tear up your floor.
Yeah, those things are so weird. I'm glad they've improved them.
It's like, put wheels on your feet. You know, there's no.
I mean, that's literally what it is.
I know. There's like no shape no. Or ergonomics or anything.
Awesome.
Also joining us, Kevin Rutajczyk. What is your favorite old-timey machine?
A ballista.
What is that?
That is really old-timey.
What is that?
It's a gigantic crossbow.
Whew. Jeez. Yes.
Siege weapon, pretty much.
Like, how gigantic? Like human size?
As big as this room.
Are you serious?
No. It depends.
No. Be like, as long as this table, fire something, fire a tree about this length.
6 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 6 feet.
Big.
Wow. Good for you. That's a good one. Pete that.
And also joining us is Rachel Rubin. What is your favorite old-timey machine?
This is terrible. Like, you say old-timey machine, and, like, all I can picture in my mind are, like, those vibrators that plug into the wall that, like, cured women of hysteria and were, like, used in, like, doctor's offices.
Weren't they used to, like, lose weight and stuff,
yes,
too?
Yeah. Weight loss.
Yeah, they were, like, medical devices because it was thought that, like, if you cure women of hysteria...
Now aren't they always just called neck massagers?
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
No, this one had a big canvas band, though.
They came in, like,
they had them at the YMCA when I was a kid, and we would use them.
Was it with you? Band?
Yes, a big canvas band.
Oh, those!
No, we're talking about different vibrators.
No, I was talking about different ones.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
It looks like...
Oh, not that kind.
I was like, with a canvas band?
Is that
to keep it positioned? Make sure it doesn't get away?
It's like sands it off. That's what that would do.
Sands what off?
Okay.
The parts.
Moving on.
Well, I was thinking the one that looks kind of like a drill.
Oh, man. Those are
not. Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
So it doesn't have a drill bit on the end. It has like a...
See?
A funnel.
Oh, God.
Old-timey machines.
Old-timey machines. That's old-timey. Okay.
Also joining us is Nicole Pizzini. And what is your favorite old-timey? You can't top that one.
Yeah, I can't follow this, so I'll just go super boring. I really like the instruments used by sailors in like the medieval ages to navigate.
Oh, sextants.
Sure.
Is that a thing?
And now we're getting back into
the vibrate.
You know. Okay.
Yeah.
And the plumb bobs. Is it?
And the ones where they measure the stars, you know, to see where the heck they are.
Yeah, those are pretty neat. Those are really complicated and cool looking.
Mm. Mine's the saxophone.
What's the saxophone?
Saxophone.
It's a non. But like when you look at the names of the instruments in Hollywood, they were very much like that. Very kind of saxophone-y.
Yeah.
Like almost made up. It's like the name of this is some kind of a machine. We looked it up. Really, I think the biggest difference here is, or the most to talk about, is the cola itself, the nuts and stuff. This was America's introduction to caffeine. Well, coffee would be that, actually. Yeah.
It was definitely America's introduction to what would become pop.
Yeah.
Or probably caffeine as a confection.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good point.
I get this sense that caffeine back then was a wonder drug because, or at least they didn't know what was in cola nuts because when they used them, they said that they were great for invalids or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes you peppy, so it's good for everything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which was kind of how what medicine was like back then.
Yeah. Like, this made me feel good, so.
So it must be good for kidney disease.
Yeah. With that, our cocktails have arrived.
Woo!
And we're looking at the Filmograph.
I made four. Lemon brandy. It's a lemon cola. Is slushy almost. That cola, when you shake carbonation, sometimes tends to grab the ice and make that ice a little slushy.
Was this tonic carbonated?
It was carbonated, but you lose so little. I think the carbonation's gone in the drink. Like, you use so little that when you shake it, I think it disappears.
Yeah.
I think it makes the, you know, for lack of a better word, it kind of slushies the drink a little bit. Just a lot more bubbly, a lot more frothy, and it feels like it reacts with the chipped ice. It feels like it's, you know, a little slushy. Very lemony, very brandy lemony. Not a very strong drink, but real easy drinking. I'd imagine it'd be a wonderful summer drink.
And what did you use? We've got the Q Cola Tonic. We've got
Christian Brothers Brandy.
Okay.
And then a fresh lemon juice.
Sorry. Okay.
And then so it's 2 ounces of brandy, three-quarter ounces of lemon juice, a fresh squeezed lemon juice, and then just a quarter ounce of the cola.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's just a little carbonation syrup kick. Just a little sugar, carbonated sugar kick. Almost like a simple syrup. Almost like a bitter simple syrup.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you, Michael.
I like it. Easy drinking, but I do like it.
Yeah, thank you. I can tell you it smells amazing.
It smells...
If you're into citrus.
It smells just like lemon.
It does. Mm-hmm. Like
okay.
It does smell like a lemon drop. It's so good.
If it's really good, we can get another one.
It is very lemony.
Yeah. It does smell like it smells very very strong as lemon, but also pretty sweet.
Does anyone want to try the cola by itself?
I would try it.
I'd love to.
Oh god!
Should we just pass the bottle around?
Yeah, let's do this hardcore.
Pets swap germs.
Yes.
It smells like a light kind of flat cola.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it tastes like a Whole Foods cola.
Like a whole
cola. Yeah, it's like there's nothing in it that's harmful.
Oh, I think it's delicious.
It is.
There's more of the kind of herbal from like the coriander and stuff and cinnamon and those kind of things.
Like, yeah.
I definitely taste that more as opposed to that like sickeningly sweet from Coke.
Yeah, though the carbonation in there, I mean.
I love that.
Yeah. I could
it's
do without the burn.
Of,
what?
There's quite a bit of carbonation in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was flat, it would be Ambrosia of the Gods.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You don't like carbonation?
No.
You like beer.
I just ignore that part of it. I like the other parts of the beer.
I would totally drink that, like, by itself.
This tastes kind of like the Jarritos cola that we like to get.
Do they have a cola?
Yeah, it's
not
awesome.
The tamarind one?
No, just straight up cola, and it's awesome. It's, like, my favorite.
Wow,
okay. Yeah. This tastes like, if I was going to put this on a scale of, like, I don't know, not even a scale. This tastes closer to that than it does to, like, Coke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. It does not taste, I mean, it tastes like Coke as a point of reference, but ultimately,
yeah,
it is its own thing.
Quite good. I like it.
It smells like that bottle caps candy.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Oh, hey, yeah. Good call.
The nose knows.
Alright, let me try this.
Doesn't taste like koalas.
No.
Have you ever tasted a koala?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Koala licking.
Yeah. It's like a thing. I took a course on it in college.
Great.
You agree?
Tastes like a watery Coke.
Yeah.
But not quite as sweet.
Yeah. I like it. I'd drink the hell out of that.
Does everybody like these?
It's a lot more... It smells a lot sweeter than it tastes.
Yeah.
I just get a lot
pretty bitter. I get a lot of lemon with a little bit of booze aftertaste.
Yeah.
That's all I get.
I'm trying to wash this cola taste out of my mouth.
I kind
of
like it.
To get the lemon blast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about candy. This is like those lemon heads.
Mm, I actually kind of love this.
Really?
But I love sour stuff and I love citrus, so it makes sense.
Woo!
And I know you don't like citrus.
You know what? After doing 55 episodes of these, 60 episodes, I'm starting to think that I just don't like anything. It's like, oh, Cameron doesn't like this. He doesn't like this. No.
This is much more bitter than I expected. It's almost like something that, oops, I was supposed to take the pith out of the lemon, but...
Yeah.
But I left it in, and now it's too bitter.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. Yeah, for sure.
The heavy citrus nature of this could be related to his making cocktails through Prohibition.
Oh.
Because citrus juices were very popular during that time to hide the...
Oh. It's very strong.
Well, they probably didn't have very high quality products.
Yeah. Bathtub gin, gross stuff distilled through car radiators and stuff.
Yeah.
And that would cover up a lot of other flavors.
Yeah, I can get the cola a little bit.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
The finish and tastes like cola, which is a pretty subtle.
And a little bit of the like effervescence from it too.
Yeah.
But up front,
it's lemonhead.
Mm-hmm. It is super sour.
It smells better than it tastes.
It smells like a lemon bar. It smells pretty sweet.
Yeah, it smells. Yeah, there's a lot of sweet smell in there. Like you're right, it smells like a lemon dessert, and it's not sweet.
It does not taste
kind of like lemon heads aren't terribly sweet. They're this crazy sour.
The smell does not. I mean, it gives you a hint, but is misleading to how much tart lemon there is like right up front.
I've only done a couple of these, but in my experience, smells are very misleading when it comes to cocktails.
Yeah.
I will say this tastes nothing at all like a whiskey Coke.
No.
Not even close.
No, God. It couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more different.
It's definitely overdone with the lemon.
A lot of lemon.
Does Michael still have the book? How much lemon syrup is in here?
All of it.
You know what the book actually says is lemon syrup, but the author of the book said that's way too sweet.
Yeah, it would have helped.
Said use fresh lemon juice.
Syrup would have helped.
Yeah, syrup would have helped this. It would have mellowed it out.
The other question, though, the other thing that he made a point of was that cola tonic is hard to come by.
Yes.
And the way it may have been way back then is different from maybe the way it is now.
Yeah.
Given that, I mean, it basically went away. And with the resurgence of craft cocktails and craft spirits, all of these strange liqueurs and bitters and tonics and stuff, these ultra high profile mixers are coming back. People are generating the recipes again, or you know, like, because some of them were lost, so people had to either do research or try to figure out what they were. And so maybe what he was using as a cola tonic was very different from what we're using. So this cocktail may be suffering from time, in a way.
It is suffering.
Yeah. You guys are wimps.
Well, it's not that it's too sour. It's that bitterness. It's that pithy, cooked lemon bitter. I don't know how it's bitter and sour at the same time, but it so is.
Is anybody tasting brandy?
No,
I
really
get a little
not.
Alcohol finish at the end, but I don't get any specific brandy flavor.
Yeah.
It's all washed out by the lemon. I would say you get the super sour lemon with some bitterness, and then at the end there's a little alcohol burn for a tenth of a second as you swallow it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that statement. That sounds right.
So it probably would be perfect for using terrible alcohol with.
Yeah.
Because there's enough terrible things to balance it out.
Well, to overpower the taste of the bad things.
Wow.
I would not say this is easy drinking.
No.
Well, I mean,
you know what? But it whitens your teeth.
What is it? It's good for drinking in the summer house.
The summer house, yeah.
The summer house.
I don't see how this is refreshing. This is painful.
This could be on a really hot day to keep your mind off the fact that you are on fire.
Well, I mean,
I see that.
The filmograph, better than being on fire.
I wonder if people back then enjoyed lemon juice more than we do.
Well, I was going to say, that's something that, you know, I've thought about before is how have palates changed?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that this was exactly how it was made, but when we think of lemon now, we think of
candy.
Candy, right. We have a very specific, our palate is used to something very specific.
And it's usually one of the colors left in the bag.
Right, and that's right, it tastes like yellow.
Oh, not in my house.
Mine either, but
my house loves some lemon candy.
But yeah, it's, you know, most people don't drink straight lemon juice.
No.
Did they?
I don't know. Or well, at least they didn't have the sugary fake stuff in things.
I bet that they... I mean, what was lemonade for them back then?
Lemon juice.
Lemon juice and sugar. With sugar.
Yeah.
And do you think that they sweetened it as much as we do?
No.
Because I doubt they had as much sugar on hand.
Sugar was not what it is now in terms of being inexpensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably potency.
Yeah.
So, especially during World War I and II.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Your lemonade was lemon juice.
Yeah. With just a hint of sugar. So, yeah, I mean, this
with
may...
With a beet dipped in it.
I was going to... Yeah, like an oak leaf.
Yeah, I mean, this may very well have been pretty standard.
Stop trying to forgive this era. This is not a good cocktail.
Yeah, I have to agree.
You're so sassy.
It's just not... Ugh. Maybe this really would benefit from lemon syrup instead of lemon juice. Because it's just so tart. It's like you just need some sweetness to just kind of like mellow it out a little.
Yeah. Ah. It's strange that the author of the book said that it was... It would be like drinking maple syrup out of a can.
I don't know about all that.
No.
Yeah, no. His palate's obviously jacked
maybe,
up.
Maybe the brandy was sweeter?
Maybe.
Is that possible?
And also, too, if it was like this Pepsi instead of this stuff, this would be a lot sweeter, too.
Let's go around. Bethany?
Yes.
What did you think of this here cocktail?
I enjoyed it. I would not drink it often. Not even in the summer house. It is a lot to take. I mean, this would be like every so often I might get a craving for it. But if you like really sour stuff, if you like your Warheads and your sour Skittles and your all that kind of stuff, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's without the guar gum either.
That's right.
So, what did you think of it, Kevin?
The first couple sips I kind of liked because I do like sour stuff, but about, you know, halfway through that, I'm done. I've hit my sour quotient. So, once we put a little splash of extra cola in it, I thought it was quite good. So, I wouldn't buy it again. I wouldn't order it again the way it is straight up, but if I tried it another time with a little more of the cola in it, I'd probably go for it and enjoy it.
Okay. And what did you think, Rachel?
I disliked this one. I think that it will, like, drinking it like it was, it's not complex at all. You get lemon, and then you get a little alcohol burn. And that, I don't think, really makes a very good cocktail. Like, you need something that has, like, you know, at least one other flavor. It's not complex. You know, putting a little bit more of the cola tonic in there definitely helped. Not really because it made it sweeter, but just because it, like, made it so you could enjoy other flavors besides lemon.
Yeah, it's almost like not a mixed drink.
Right, exactly. It's just like I could go home and squeeze a lemon and drink that, and like
it's 90% the same.
I mean, like, really, I could go home, I could squeeze a lemon, put a drizzle a little vodka in there, and it would taste exactly the same as it did inside the glass. Putting a little bit more of the sweetness with the cola tonic in it really helped.
I'm 100% with Rachel on this one. The cola tonic made it more complex. You brought out more flavors, but it needed more of it. Otherwise, it's just bitter lemon. It's not so good.
Okay. I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. Some of us a little more forgiving, but all in all, just kind of a hard thing to swallow.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So I guess that wraps it up. I mean, quick and dirty. So a lot more to come with the Black Liver Project. Making a lot more plans for 2015. Follow us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And until next time, if you're into thinking and drinking, let us blacken your liver. Bye now.
Okie dokie. Roll the bass up in this bitch. Another ground music. You know how we do this. Y'all talk a lot of shit, but we direct movies with the rhymes. Yeah. We're never stopping. Keep it going. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's do this. Check it. Yes. I'm so steady, so ready to go. New flow, but it sounded like I said it before. Step through the door, yeah, you know the music is loud. Doing it now, see the way we move in the crowd. Doing it proud, see the way I'm doing it right. Doing it now, forget tomorrow, do it tonight. If you doing it right, then you feel it in your soul. If you doing it wrong, then you gotta let it go. Gotta let them know that I'm playing for keeps. Living the booth, trying to stay away from the streets. Don't carry the heat and never carry the chrome. Standing alone, moving like I'm Marion Jones. Stand in the zone, oh yeah, I'm up in the spot. Couple shots before I rock, then I'm puffing the pot. Stop, yeah, gotta stay groovy. Stay away from the groupies, gotta make movies. Catch me with the clean cut, or I'm rocking a long beard. Spitting out a strange rhyme, making a song weird. It's all here, nothing is left to decide. Forgetting the lies, I blink this one, I'm resting my eyes.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Monster in a Glass podcast. I'd like to thank Jason Cruz for researching our content. Our regular tasting team, Rachel Rubin, Kevin Ratajczyk, Bethany Lang, and Nicole Pizzini, for joining me in the grueling task of tasting the cocktails we discuss. The Brixton and their bartender, Michael Donnelly, for letting us cavort in their liquid playground. Dan Cruz for art direction and editing. And Mark Piani for the music at the head of the show. Go to blackliverproject.com to see the show archive, become a member, contribute to the project, and get in touch with us. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest news and as it happens updates during live events. And as always, if you're into thinking and drinking, let us blacken your liver.
For my health, see, I'm hoping for the wealth. I write it for y'all. Never do I write it for me. Wife in the car, hoping that's the life that I see. We ready to quit, never that, we ready to rock. 3 o'clock in the morning, just got up in the spot. Fuck it, I'm whopped. Yeah, I got a dub and some guap. Not a lot, but enough that I can go till I drop. Dropping the truth, yeah, I make it hot in the booth. Forget the B6, fuck it, yo, I rock to the loop. My troops, lock it down, you gotta listen up. Keep going all night, now is this enough? Yup.
Boogie.
Yup, 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 huh? Okay. It's alright to.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
See.
I don't even see. I don't even know.
And you wonder why.
And you wonder why.
And you wonder why.
Turn into a. Turn into this life, huh?
The League Crew.